Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to the service this morning. It's good to see everyone here, and especially it's good to have some visitors with us this morning. Some I recognise, and some I don't. Come in. There's tea and there's coffee served at the end of the service, and if you're able to stay behind, please do. It would be good to have the chance to meet with you. We don't just have visitors with us this morning, but we have some of our congregation who've never actually been well enough to sit with us before. And it's great to see Dolak out this morning. And she's a real answer to prayer in seeing her sitting here. So it's good to see everyone, and it's good to see Dolak especially, and those who are visiting with us. One or two intimations, just to make the point that the service this evening will be at 6. That will be a Gaelic service, and that will be conducted, God willing, by Dan Mary, Mr. Don John Morrison. The English praise service is at 7:30 this evening. And it's good to see Nurse Marion back with us today after having been 3 weeks in Malawi. And Nurse Marion's going to share something about that 3 weeks this evening at the praise service, the English Fellowship, which will be at 7:30 and not at 8:00. Various things in the course of the week as usual. Ladies' Bible study on Monday, First Fruit Fellowship on Tuesday. Road to Recovery on Tuesday, all in the normal places at the normal times, and the prayer meeting is on Wednesday at 7:30 here in the community centre. The services next Sunday will be at 11:00 and 6:00, and will be taken, God willing, by myself. One more intimation, two more intimations in fact. One is just to ask for help. The garden up at the New Manse on the Caw would benefit from many volunteers at this stage. There's some trees that have come down. Some more trees need to come down. If you've got the expertise to be able to do that and a chainsaw, you would be of huge help up there. If you don't, there's lots of trees that have fallen, branches that need to be cleaned up and disposed of. And so if you're able to help with that during the week or on Saturdays, please, the more the merrier. The more that are there, the quicker we get through the job. One more thing to say is that, just as a way of an update, on Tuesday of this week, the planning committee will be meeting to consider the application for the change of use from the inn to a church. And so we should have an indication of their decision on Tuesday, but that will either be ratified or potentially could be challenged at the meeting of the main council, which I think is a week later. So if you could be prayerful this week in respect of that, especially, that would be very much appreciated. We're going to begin now and worship God and sing to his praise from Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And we will sing from verses 1 to verse 5. 6 stanzas. The words are on the screen. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear at length to me. He did incline my voice and cried to hear. He took me from a fearful pit, from the mighty clay, and on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. The first 5 verses of this psalm to God's praise. We stand to sing.
I waited for the
shall see it and shall fear.
good also to have the Reverend John Murdo, Jodo Davidson with us this morning as well. And we heard a little about the ministry that he's called to and is engaged in Dundee on Wednesday evening. It's good to have you with us, Jodo, and maybe you could lead us in prayer just now. You come out and lead us in prayer, please.
And let us pray. Most eternal and ever blessed God, we bow our heads now in unity of praise and worship. We come before the most holy God, the creator and the sustainer of all things, the one who gives us the breath of life. And gracious Lord, we bow this day, and our prayer is this day that you would cast out all distractions from our hearts and from our minds. And Lord, may we be focused on Christ. Indeed, Lord, you have opened up an avenue of salvation for sinners such as we are. Your word tells us, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up to us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts and with a full assurance that faith brings. Eternal God, we thank you and we bless you for Jesus. Indeed, he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Indeed, Lord, he is the high priest who can sympathize with all our weaknesses and our frailty, and yet he was without sin in order that we can be saved. Lord, we come before you and we marvel at the covenant of redemption that you set in place where you would save sinners. And Lord, we thank you and bless you that your glorious Holy Spirit is still at work, even today, in this place, convicting, converting, sanctifying. Oh, what manner of love is this, that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And Lord, to be called into your kingdom indeed is a privilege, which has responsibilities. And Lord, we just rejoice in our hearts at Christ and all that he has done for us. He is the constant that we have in our lives. Father, you know our frailty. Indeed, you know our weakness. And indeed, you know our sin. And Lord, we come before you this day and we confess our sin before you within our hearts. And we ask that you would forgive us. And indeed, your word tells us, Lord, that you will cleanse us from all sin. Oh, glorious God, we just thank you for every blessing that you have bestowed upon us. And Lord, as we gather to worship here this day, may Christ have all the preeminence and all the glory, and may we be blessed. Lord, would you help and encourage David as he opens up your word to us, that we may see wonderful things in your law. Lord, would you stir up our hearts today, and would you help us to love one another the way that Christ loves us. And indeed, Lord, as we gather here this day, we pray that you will continue to bless this congregation in all that they do. And we think of these meetings that take place at the council next week. We leave that with you. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Church of Scotland as well, and we ask your favour and your blessing upon them, and indeed upon the Free Presbyterians up the road too. Lord, may they know your blessing and presence too. So Lord, as we gather here this day, may we sense your presence within our hearts and in our midst. Lord, you have promised to inhabit the praises of your people. And where two or three are gathered together, then there you are, Lord, in the midst of not only that, but there to bless. Unite us today under the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for any who are unwell in this congregation, Lord. We ask your favor. There are some, Lord, who cannot be with us here this day, who are housebound. Lord, would you bless them in a very special way. And Father, we pray for those that may be working and in acts of mercy would you be with them too. So Lord, continue to bless this congregation and indeed this community. Lord, help us to remain faithful to your word and to all that you command us to do. Lord, would you go before us this day? And we ask all these things always and forever in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Thank you, Joram, for leading us in prayer. Boys and girls, anyway, could you come out the front, please? How's everyone this week? All good? What lives in these things? Eggs. And what happens if you take an egg and you throw it? It cracks, it smashes. Are you sure about that? How do you know? You've done it before? Yeah, I bet you have. What's in the egg box? Just two eggs left. You want to feel an egg? Just very gently. Bella, you come. You can just verify we have an egg here. Is that an egg? Yeah? Feel like an egg? Look like an egg? What would happen? What would happen with it? It would smash. So I should put it back in the box. Okay, you sit down, thank you. I don't think I'll open it back in the box. How do I know eggs would smash? I don't think this egg would smash. I think if I dropped this egg, it would be alright. It wouldn't smash. Do you think I could throw this egg and it would just bounce? If I could see into your hearts and I can't, I would think that maybe you were just wanting to get me into trouble. Do eggs bounce? Yes. They just smash, don't they?
Yes.
Eggs that bounce, is that possible?
No.
Or is it impossible? It was impossible. And your faces, when I threw the egg, were telling me it's impossible. But with this egg, it's actually possible. Because it's not really an egg. It's kind of like a bouncy ball rubber thing. Just looks very, very much like an egg. So what looked to be so impossible, Bella, that's the real egg. We're not going to try it with that one. What looked to be so impossible was actually possible. Boys and girls, today when you're having your lunch, you can ask your mums and dads or whoever you're having your lunch with about the story that we're going to read in the Bible when you go to Sunday school and the sermon that we're going to hear. And it's a story about the children of Israel, a million of them, and they're all standing and they're looking at the Jordan River. It was a mile wide, massive, massive wide. It was going fast as you can, really fast because it was a flood time. And God said to a million people, cross it. Just cross it. When you put your foot into the water, God said, all the water will stop flowing. Is that possible?
No.
That is not that's not possible with us. But can God do the impossible?
Yes.
Well, God did the impossible. And when they put their toe into the water, all the water stopped flowing. And they went across the Jordan, safe and dry. What looked like an impossible journey, God made possible. Boys and girls, you know there's an impossible journey that we're called to make. And it's the journey from earth to heaven. Do you think we can get to heaven? We can't get to heaven in ourselves, because in ourselves we have something that cannot be in heaven. And it's called sin, yeah. And so for you and me to get to heaven on our own, it's impossible. But God, who can make the impossible possible, what did he do? He came from heaven to earth, and his name was
Jesus.
And he came so that our sin could be taken away, to be our redeemer, as Jonah was praying. He came to take our sin away, so that what was impossible before, he would make possible for all who would trust him. Boys and girls, do you want to go to heaven? So do you know what you need to do? Trust Jesus. It's the only way. Ask him to take your sin away. Ask him to make what is impossible for us on our own possible through him. And if you believe in your heart in him, he'll do it. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you that you love us, and we thank you that you loved us enough to make what was impossible for us possible. We thank you that we are able to know that when we go from this world, we can get to heaven. Not because of us, it's impossible for us, but because of Jesus and all that he did. So help us, we pray, whether we're very young or whether we're much older, to trust in Jesus, to ask him to take our sin away, and to ask us to take him, when it's your time, from earth to heaven. Be with the boys and girls. Help them in Sunday school today and all the things that they have to do. Be with the ones who can't be with us today. And we think especially of Andrew, one of the big ones. We pray that you would be with him in hospital, that you'd help his foot to get better, and that he'd be back soon with us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Boys and girls, we're going to sing now. We're going to sing the words that are on the screen, or will be just on the screen in a minute. It's Mission Praise 673, and it's a hymn about Jesus, our Redeemer. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Let's stand up and we'll sing to God's praise. Okay, boys and girls, you can head to Sunday school now. If you could turn in your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, as we continue our studies in this book. Joshua chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 1. In fact, we'll read back from chapter 2 and verse 22. Last week we looked at the whole episode of Rahab, and how Rahab came to trust in the Lord, how she gave testimony to the faith that she had in God, and how that testimony was encouraging to God's people and was carried back over the Jordan to Joshua and to God's people. And so it says in verse 22 of chapter 2, or verse 23, "Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, 'The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Chapter 3, verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officer went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. You might ask the question, why? Partly that was out of reverence for that place, that holy place where God was. There's a distance between the Lord and his people. And more practically, and the emphasis on that is on this point in this chapter, they were to stay back from the Ark, a million of them, remember, so that they could see where the Ark was going and they would know which way to follow. Keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the tribes of the earth will go on to the Jordan, into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel. Choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carry the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a great heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Amen. And may God bless to us that reading of his holy word and give us understanding as we come to it just shortly. Neil Cameron is now going to lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please, Neil.
Let us draw near to God in prayer. Can you make your way? Give the amnesty in the throat. When you're going to be the tangulous, the root of the issue. Matthew, the Lord, the Lord, the Son. Because I'm not watching you, that's why I'm crying, cold in the head. It's an hour of the book tape. That's when you're the fan, my shock, crushing. Tangle can hear the sun, get a head at the green, the heart, it's got a neck you hide. It'll be who gets its back on the glass to buy. It's not a taranyana, not close at the knees of the acting. A marriage funny here. It is given here, the magging of the hooded door. Ne dashin ye, ed matin yeli yet the laha, kimich le di yid in yugus et tok. Egus gorashin ye tet van yerke vel, no vach kimich yerte ho, ye ne fiasht vashi. Gorashin ye giri moshen, ne dashin ye da fayan, krein moshok hondo di shi, Chymichle dîd yn ygys eto. Rysdw gawd yn yng Nghymru. Dîs na trwyd crwyn chymichle na dana. Gwylwys y gofias y biach yn y chwm y fyd biach. Rysdw na dana am hyn a hasyn i'r cnynych. Sbrow mor sain y biach yn gachon ac yn ffalus. Gach. Dach yn ymdan y sy'n yma. Ac nach yn y corym yn y fi cwmfod yn sŵs. Nach hwran cyn y ywn sy'n dehe. Grawh hyn cwmfod yw y ffarbyr. Ygys le seich yn slef heim yn ffarbyr. Sgrwys yn agwyd yn ôl y ddwch dyr hwn. Sy'n y gyr y dyfiannach hwn. Mae'r hwn. Sy'n y gyr y dyfiannach dyr hwyrach ygys. Ne sheikh in the koga covenant when he be at the chain who went hokalach as ne edo kiyori as ne be kene beware ukte for as ne kuz ne ne hen shane no with the hore be it is grow to guy of klug is it is sho korike sho kondora gnyra and the khuti hin here ne Du wene gute schnee marschen gach kusch gukti. Mar ich hier war mir fei. Ich hab nie vaker nie ich in der Schote ku. Bian ich hier. Ich war und weg, wo ich hab kohle den sich hei. Mach ich uns in der Skalha. Ich hab nie kiri. Da wien ich gab ich die Hulle to. Ich war heute. Keine Rügen grüe an Leinen noch. Ich weiß, Kro at ik hier in hier. Kro te troore ge gai weskach ni. Bianneche, es kach ge de huige kon, den sechni. Hier te bianach ge hai de hulle to. Na ga ba mach ge schne hach ge schach kon. Skro hu de bianach ge set han. Skro te ga han amen. Ja shiur ma ku. Bianneche ga ge si hu. Bianish in leer fame and leer seeking for me. Russian tangle can hear this and Gachti have a heck of a Marau Konyaku. The cafe, my horn, your lap of it. Not a hoard, there's this cabello. Fast at the line could move. It was me and Gachti in Piosby. Cabella saw sich the lach could have. Speranakate, Nahula Kuaki. Never to set up. We shall never to rehab. We shall have a stall to go. So you hold a voice come. What can tell you about the end and after her? I would hold a voice come. So can you secure your baby? She no could let on after rehab. Gevesin troog, dus ik was genaam is in het. Het kraas, ik kon kooi dan naam veel. Na gemakke wil in hier, na kun je van de norgen. En het geen leed veel. En ik had het, strooi lennis na plaatjes bij. Zo goed als leen, ik had koos gekregen. Maar ik ging haar niet veel. Goed ik zijn machine in het lees. Bij bijna de deur heen als een haar. Bianche, die Hachke den Adile sette hü, gai tavet bäs, kachken hi, toka de feste ge. Bianche, gön doch, wo wir sind, gön den Gehet gön jeder Bas. Bianche, gachorni gön hoag nach Hüges gefohlt. Bianche, gön je wie schön doch lü, bianche, herzen nach Wett, traurig wessen hü. Hulle nie jene scho, ach a bewe, wein mar höge, ergus mar gechten nie jene, gewanschen jas achtieste, komschen die fadeste jungs, begeis gleeg edentli, begeis kutje gewannet hoog, en koenig worne het vee, ach a meester hoog het gön, kusheer vierkachwee, ergus kacht die is, Amen.
We're going to sing again to God's praise from Psalm 40 and verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 40. We sing in Gaelic this part of the psalm. 6 and 7 of Psalm 40. No sacrifice nor offering didst thou at all desire. Mine ears thou bore, thou opened. Sin offering thou and burnt didst not require. Then to the Lord these were my words. I come, behold and see. Within the volume of the book is written, it written is of me. A psalm where we're pointed forward to Jesus. We remain seated to sing in Gaelic. I'm conscious a lot of our Gaelic people are away today, so please be encouraged to sing out and help Donald as he leads us in praise. Turning your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 3. And just as we come to think upon this passage again, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you as those who are weak and who need your help. And we pray that you would meet with us at the point of our need. Our desire is that we would see the things that you would have us see and that we would hear the words that you would have us hear. Our desire, Lord, is that you would meet with us in the Word, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would see Jesus, that we would be drawn to him, and that we would put our faith in him and his finished work. So help us, Lord, we pray. Each one of us, as we gather with our heads bowed, we pray that you would prepare our hearts and that we would know that you are God and that you are close to us and that you are dealing with us. And we pray not only for ourselves but for the young ones. And as the gospel message is explained to them simply and clearly, we ask that they would trust you in their youth and that they would walk close with you in their lives. And we pray for others, those around us in this community as has been prayed for, and every church across this land where Christ crucified is preached. We pray that you would speak, Lord, and that you would work and build your church. And not only in this land, but across the world. We think of those who meet as we meet, but who meet in secrecy and with a fear of whether or not they will leave the place in the same shape that they arrived in physically. We are conscious, we heard even on Friday evening, of those who meet in Iran to hear the gospel, but who, if they are found, will be punished and perhaps even executed. And yet still they come. And as your church is persecuted, we thank you that Jesus continues to build the church. And Lord, we ask that you would build your church here. And Lord, that you would glorify yourself in and through our lives as we come to you. Hear our prayers and meet with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I vividly remember being age 12 or 13. It was the first year in secondary school. It was Aberdeen, Bonacord Baths to be precise. And I was standing on the top diving board. It was 10 metres high, 33 feet. And I was, and I still am, not at all keen on heights. And I so much remember the feeling of standing there, probably standing a good 5 or 6 feet back from the edge, with a whole class watching, and stepping forward closer to the edge, and then stepping back, and then stepping forward once more to the very, very edge, and then stepping back. And pathetically, I have to say, I went back down the stairs. I never jumped. Now, we might be thinking, as we've been going through Joshua, and as we've come into Joshua chapter 3, are Israel ever going to jump? Are Israel ever going to actually make a move? Because already we've seen them come so close and then step back. So are they going to do the same thing yet again? At the end of chapter 1, just a few glance at it to remind ourselves of where we've been in the plot line. At the end of chapter 1, the nation seemed confident. They seemed poised to proceed. Moses had died, but Joshua is brought into the spotlight. Joshua is the one who is leading them. They are told by the Lord to be strong and to be courageous and to have faith to follow him. It's the end of chapter 1, and we expect chapter 2 to begin with them following. And yet chapter 2 begins with them hitting the pause button. And then we're told the story of the spy mission and the two spies who went over into the land to survey it, and their encounter with Rahab and all that happened there that we explored last week. And at the end of chapter 2, having heard Rahab's testimony and heard how the whole nation is fearful of God's people as they are ready to cross, they're encouraged as a nation. And so chapter 2 and verse 24 They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given us the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." Spirits are high. Confidence is high. They have that clarity of vision. So what happens next? What will Joshua say? What will Joshua do? How will the people respond? With the words of Rahab's testimony and the people fired up in Joshua's ears, will he give the command to proceed? Will they advance? Well, as we've read, we've discovered, the answer to that question is no, not yet. It seems before they move, they have to wait. That's the first point for this morning. The people are called, first of all, to wait. And the second point that we'll come to in due course is Joshua is called to lead them. And he leads them in waiting. And the third point is we see and hear the calling that Joshua gives that they are to follow. But first of all, we consider this calling that's placed upon the nation to wait. Not to proceed, not to rush on, but to wait. Look at verses 1 to 5. "Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it." Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves." Well, think about that word. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. But today, wait. I was visiting in a home a while back. The conversation for a minute in the home turned to football. And the man I was visiting said to me, "Are you going to be watching the big game on Saturday?" I said, "I'd love to, but I'm not going to be able to watch the big game on Saturday in my house anyway, because I don't have Sky Sports." He says, "Hang on a second." He went over to the unit and he produced this coupon that he'd taken out of a newspaper. He says, "I've got Sky Sports, but here's a coupon here, and it gives you 3 months of Sky Sports for free. Would you like it?" I said, "Absolutely, thank you." Took it, put it in my pocket. Went home, checked online to make sure this offer was actually a valid offer, and to my delight, yes, it was a valid offer. This is Thursday. Could I watch the game on Saturday? Well, when I clicked and I read the terms and conditions, I was dismayed to discover that I couldn't. Because the offer, valid as it was, couldn't actually be claimed for another 2 weeks. I'm getting too ahead of it. I'm saying wicks, not weeks. The offer couldn't be claimed for another 2 weeks, so I had to wait before I could realise the promise and take hold of the offer, claim it. And in some ways, that was the situation that Israel were in at this point. They had God's promise. God's promise was clear. God's promise was reliable. It was powerfully given to Joshua. It was a promise of victory. It was a promise of possession of the land that they longed for. It was a promise that was valid and true from the God who cannot lie, but it was a promise that would only become a reality in God's time. And so as Israel teeter on the brink of the promised land, what Joshua says to them at the start of chapter 3 is not charge, but wait. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. What does consecrate mean? Well, if you want a picture of it, go back to Exodus 19. We're not going there just now, we haven't time. But in Exodus 19, we're given details of what it looks like for the nation to consecrate themselves. They were called to consecrate themselves before God would speak to them in the Ten Commandments. But essentially, to consecrate themselves meant that they had to dedicate themselves. They had to devote themselves to the Lord. They had to be set apart from this world. They had to be set apart from the sin that was so plaguing them. And they were set apart for the Lord, in anticipation that in a powerful way, He would meet with them. And He would deal with them. And so Joshua's order was not charge, it was be consecrated. And it wasn't actually a complicated instruction. It wasn't a difficult thing, technically, that he was asking the people to do. But put yourself in their shoes as they stand seeing, almost able to touch, the land that they had so longed for, with their confidence high, with their courage levels up, they were set to charge, but to actually wait was the hardest thing that they probably could have been asked to do. And still today, I think this remains one of the hardest things that we are called to do if we are here this morning and we are Christians. It is easy to be on the move. It is easy to be busy. It is easy to do things for God, in inverted commas. But it's so difficult to wait upon the Lord. And yet, that's what God called them to do on that day. And that's what God calls us to do on this day. He calls us to wait upon Him and spend time in His presence and to be set apart from the world and set apart from sin and set apart with that intent that we will meet with Him and worship Him. Every day that's our calling, but especially today. This is the Lord's day. And we are called, as we sang in the psalm, to wait upon Him. You ever given someone a gift? You've taken a wee bit of time. You've thought about what would be good for them to have, something that they would appreciate or something that you expect they would appreciate. So you go out and you choose it and you spend your money on it. You go to their house and you hand over the gift. Maybe they're wearing a shabby jacket all the time. You think, need a nice jacket. So you buy them a nice jacket. Maybe they're always giving you horrible coffee. You think, they could do with a nice coffee machine. They like coffee. So you give them a nice coffee machine. And then the next time you see them, you go to their house, they're still wearing the shabby jacket and they're still offering you the horrible decaffeinated coffee. You know, you take the time to give them the gift, but they never actually take the time themselves to benefit from it. Don't you think that the Lord must sometimes look at us as we charge around on His day? Or maybe just as we sleep through His day. Don't you think He must look at us and think, why won't they use the gift that I gave them? Because the Lord's Day, it's a gift. He's given it to us. And we should see it that way. Why has He given us this gift? It's because He knows us. It's because He knows that we need it. You know, one of the things I've learned in the manse garden over the last week or so is if you rev a chainsaw for too long without oil, it doesn't work well. Starts to smell. Starts to kind of slow down. And if you persist in revving a chainsaw for too long without oil, can be relaxed, your chainsaw's fine. If you persist in revving a chainsaw for too long without oil, it will break. It will seize the engine. It needs oil. Now, if we don't take the Sabbath rest time that God has set aside for us, we become like the dodgy chainsaw. If we are not being anointed with the Holy Spirit as we take time in God's presence each day, and especially today, we become ineffective. We become tired. We become worn out. We become broken. And so we need daily, and in a special way, weekly, to be revived, to be strengthened, to be prepared for what God has set out before us, just ahead of us in the week. We need to stay. You know, when I was preparing this message, it was Thursday morning, and I went out mid-morning as instructed when the washing machine came to an end to hang out the washing. So I was hanging out the washing, and literally just 30 yards ahead of me, there was a seagull. And it was a wild, blustery day, and this thing was just soaring. Not a movement in the wings, just soaring effortlessly. And it took my mind straight to Isaiah 40 in relation to all these things. It says there, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Israel were so close. The temptation was to charge. But before they could enter the land that God had promised to them, they had to wait. And today, let's just take that simple application. Myself first, because ministers are some of the biggest guilty culprits in terms of not taking Sabbath rest. Let's be encouraged today to use God's gift to us of His day, to spend time with Him, to wait upon Him, to listen to Him, to speak to Him, to be with Him, not just the hour, but the day. So that's the first point. It's a calling that they had to wait. The second point that we have this morning is we hear Joshua's calling, and that was a calling to lead. He led them to wait, but he would soon lead them to proceed. And we see that from verses 6 through to verse 9 in particular. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went on ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, and so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. Joshua's calling was a calling to lead. It was a calling that went back to chapter 1 and verse 6. Remember? Chapter 1, verse 6. Joshua is told by the Lord, be strong, Joshua. Be courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. And so Joshua knew from the second that God took hold of him with this special mission, that his calling was not a calling to stand back and to be passive, but he had a calling to lead. So Joshua knew his calling was a calling to lead, but think about the million people that were gathered around him. Some of whom would have been saying, Joshua, we changed Joshua's nappies. We've seen Joshua since he was that size. We know about Joshua's faults. We're all too familiar with Joshua. Moses, now he was something. But Joshua? The likelihood was that there would have been those present amongst the children of Israel who may have lacked confidence in Joshua's leadership skills. Joshua himself needed a whole lot more reassurance than Moses did. And that lack of confidence may have gone through the camp. And if you have a nation who lack confidence in the one who is leading them, we have problems. We see that in different realms of life. Think about politics. When a party doesn't believe their leader is fit to lead the whole party, that party starts to fall apart. Think about Corbyn, Labour. We see it in battle. We see it on a sports field. A platoon or a team, they need to have confidence in their leader to be able to perform and to work effectively. And so what the Lord does in that context is he starts to lift up Joshua. He starts to exalt Joshua in the eyes of all the people so that they, the people, will have faith in Joshua as a leader. The Lord says to Joshua, verse 7, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel." How do we feel about that? If it was the prayer meeting, I would ask you. I'm not going to ask you just now. But let me tell you, when I read that verse, on first reading, it kind of bothers me. "Today I will begin to exalt you, Joshua, the man, in the eyes of all Israel." Now, the idea of Joshua or any other man being exalted and lifted up and set on a pedestal, that bothers me. Why does it bother me? Because the only one I want to see lifted up on a pedestal is Christ. The one who said that when he is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself, as they should be drawn. Because he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. But what's the point on having Joshua or you or me or anyone else lifted up? Seems pointless. So what's God doing here? Why does he say this to Joshua? Well, God says this to Joshua because in exalting Joshua, he was actually exalting himself and his own glory and his own word was becoming focused, the focus of the people. "Today," verse 7, says the Lord, "I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel." Why? "So they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." God wanted to lift Joshua up. And as Joshua came into focus, as he was elevated, Joshua did not point himself, point the cameras to himself. Joshua didn't say to the people, "Look at me." Joshua took every opportunity to say to the people, "Look at God." As Joshua is handed the microphone, Joshua does never take the opportunity to say, "Well, let me give you my thoughts on the matter." Joshua takes every opportunity to say not his words, but God's words. Verse 9, Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." Joshua's name means "the Lord is salvation." And Joshua was called to lead. But Joshua led the people not to himself, but he led them to God. Joshua took every opportunity to lead the people to the God who could save them. And that's my calling as your minister. And that's the calling of every preacher who will ever stand here or anywhere. That's the calling of the office bearers of this congregation. Yes, we have been called to lead, but leadership involves very simply pointing people past ourselves and to Christ. Leadership involves speaking not of ourselves, but speaking of Jesus. So if I ever give you my thoughts on cooking or football or sports or whatever, feel free to bin them. I have no business doing it. But if I speak to you about Christ, listen. If I say, let's open God's word and listen to what God is saying, listen. I was preaching in Kamali a couple of weekends ago, and they've got this beautiful new church, and there's a lectern, a fancy lectern, and inscribed in the lectern, where you just cannot miss it, it says, "We want to see Jesus." The text from Acts. We want to see Jesus. We don't want to see you. We don't want to see anyone else. We want to see Christ. And that's a great reminder for every preacher who will ever stand there. But it's also a necessary reminder for every Christian. Christian, you, if you're a Christian, are called to be an ambassador for Christ. Every one of you. You are called to point people and lead people, not to yourself, but to Jesus. So are we doing that? If people were to look at our lives and say, what is it that they guide and direct us to? What do they use their sphere of influence for? The answer that should come back is, well, they're always pointing people to Christ. Are we using our lives? Are we using our words? Does our example point people, not to ourselves, not to another, but to Jesus? The Lord is salvation. Are we pointing people, Christians, to the Lord who can save them, the only one who can save them? And that's the calling of the church too, obviously. The collective group. Not to speak of ourselves. Not to talk about some brand or a denomination. Speak about Jesus. So, first point is to wait. Second point is to lead. Third point, finally and quickly, is they were called to follow. And as we read on in the chapter, we saw that. After waiting, after consecrating themselves for Israel, now was the time. We've been waiting and we've been waiting. We've been standing, coming closer to the edge of the diving board, and now is the time. This was the moment for all the people of Israel to follow the God of Israel into the land that he promised. This is where the promise becomes reality. This is where faith in things unseen becomes the visible reality. So the people follow as they're called to. And there is two things to note in conclusion as we see them follow. First of all, as they follow, they receive assurance. The assurance doesn't come before, it comes as they follow. Now put yourselves for a moment in the shoes of Israel. They had the promise from God. It had been given to them and emphasized and re-emphasized, and they had it emphatically. They had had a good report from the spies who'd been in the promised land. They had a leader who they trusted. But as they looked out, they still saw the raging torrent of the Jordan River. And as they looked out, they could still think about these warrior people, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. They were all against them. So they still had these people to face. And my guess is, if I was one of that camp, I would still be sweating a fair bit at the prospect of all that stood between me and the reality of the promise. But God said to Joshua, follow me. Trust me. And Joshua said to the people, God has said, follow him. Trust him. And when, verse 13, you set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and will stand up in a heap. How would that happen? We think if you were in the camp, you'd be thinking, how could that possibly happen? How could the water stand up in a heap? How can this torrent go from this to dry land? That's a question I think that would have been natural for them to ask. But it wasn't a question that they were called to study. All they were called to do was take one step in faith. And God would do the rest. And this is not hard to apply. Because I believe that there will be a number of people here. Many people here. Whom God is calling to take a step in faith. And there are some people here who have been looking at the Jordan River for year after year. And with every passing year, it seems to flow faster and be wider and more formidable. And God says to those whom he is calling, don't look at that. Don't look at the Jordan. Don't listen to the roar. Look to me. Listen to my call upon your life. And don't look at your life and the mess that your life is. Don't look at yourself and all the things that you can't do. Look to the cross. Look to Jesus and all that he has already done. The Lord Jesus is salvation. And he lived for us sinlessly. And he died for us in our place. And he rose from the dead. And he is the one who says, follow me. Take a step. Take a step and follow me. Give your life to me. He says to the one who is not yet a Christian. Submit. Give your life to me. Take the step. Oh, but what's going to happen with this and that and the next thing? Forget that. Forget how God's going to do it all in your life. Just take the step. Stand up for me, perhaps he's saying to others. You've been mine for years and you're still under the radar. But if I stand up and if I profess my faith, there's going to be this and the next thing and then that one and this one. What are they going to say and what's this one going to think? Dismiss that. Take the step. Maybe he's calling some to be a bit more brave than we are. Speak a word in our family. Speak a word in our workplace. And we're saying, well, if I do that, there's going to be this implication, this ramification. There's going to be trouble. How's it going to work? Never mind that. Take a step. Open your mouth. Maybe he's taking hold of somebody in a specific way and calling them to some specific ministry and you're saying, I can't do it. How could I do it? And the Lord says, take a step. And when you do, then you will receive the assurance. Until you do, you'll be dithering and working things out and trying to engineer things in your mind. But when you do, as Israel did, it's mid-step that the assurance came. We never get assurance this side of the Jordan. We always get assurance mid-step. As we step forward individually, as we step forward as a congregation, it's then that God meets with us. And if he can make the Jordan River stand an end, I'm pretty sure he can deal with your worries and mine. So trust him. Follow him. There's the assurance they receive mid-step, and there's the amazement that overtakes them as they survey all that God actually did, which was just as he said it would be. But there's 10 minutes of a sermon there for another day. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you are the God who calls us to receive salvation. And Lord, we thank you that we receive that salvation not by our own endeavours, but by obedience to your call. And we ask, Lord, that we would follow you as you call us. And as salvation is offered, we pray that we would not overthink all the complications of what it will mean to be your child, but Lord, that we would simply take your hand and trust you and follow you. And we thank you for your day. We pray that as we go from here, that you would enable us not to waste the day, not to fill it with so much that will distract us from you, not to waste it by sleeping our way through it, but help us, we pray, to take time to wait upon the Lord and to find that there is refreshment and there is strength given to all who will come in that way. And help us, we pray, as we go from here, whether as an individual or as a congregation or as those from different congregations, enable us, we pray, in our lives to take every opportunity that you give us to point not to ourselves but to point to Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing to conclude from hymn number 683, the words on the screen. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. We'll stand for some.
Oh!
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.